What's up, Black Mixologists? It is I, That Kid Ohio, along with my other host.
Emperor Black. I always mess this up. Emperor Black, yo. King Black, yo. It's good to be back. I'm never going to get this right. But yeah. I'm happy to be back.
And whoever he is.
Let's do this.
And welcome to the podcast where every day is great at your Juness. But we have a lot to talk to you guys about today. It's been a minute since we actually recorded, mainly because we're trying to get things situated here on our end, and mostly because there's going to be a lot of transitions happening sometime soon. So maybe, and slow on my part because I'm got to like balance work and editing at the same time, along with trying to, I guess you can say, furthering myself in terms of, you know, personal development. Let's put it that way. Trying to learn a new language. So I've been playing some games, you know, doing my thing. But we got a little bit of a packed episode for you guys. We got some previous, what did he say, WWE pay-per-view results. We also have some NFL news, at least the biggest. HG is going to give us a little talk about the new zombies mode outbreak. And then after that, we're going to get into some Nintendo talk. There's a lot of things that happened recently for Nintendo, namely the Pokemon 25 year anniversary. And then our topic of today, that's probably going to, burn into or burn off from our Nintendo talk, is the game that changed your views, or just maybe just like, you know, what you play to, you know, keep your mind off, I guess, down times, if you will. I know me and you talked about that earlier. Have you thought about that game?
I think so. Yeah, I really think so. I think I got it, you know. But it's going to be later on. You guys might have heard of this game, but we're going to talk about that later down the podcast. So stay tuned, my brothers and sisters.
But just a quick little intro segment. We have been doing pretty good. We are on the cusp, hopefully, of going on a well-needed break from work, if you will. Hopefully everything clears up, not clears up, hopefully everything is situated to the point where it doesn't fall flat, or we don't fall flat on our face, and hopefully we can actually take this trip, because we've been talking about it for a long time, and we would love,
yes, we have,
to take those days off and actually go to this wonderful country that I've been gassing up for the past couple episodes. But yes, I noticed recently a lot of people, or some people, were like, yo, what's up with you and social media and all that shit? You sound like a couple of haters. But I just realized that it's probably just me getting old. I'm 26, I think. I don't know. I don't know. I forgot already. Damn. See, I'm already going through my midlife crisis. But
here it is.
I'm 26, and apologies for all you people who are like, man, all he does is talk about this, that, and third in every fucking episode. There's no consistency. Well, there is consistency, but it's an annoying consistency, to the point where I want to dial it back on the rants on social media, because, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting too old as to the new, I guess, trends happening around the world, this, that, and the third. And there's a lot of people whose feelings are getting hurt, so I'm just going to avoid it, all out the same. Well, not avoid it, but dance around the subject from time to time in this new season of Black Mixology. But speaking of transitioning to new, late on the aspect, we got some pay-per-view results. So, there's a storyline been building. So, Elimination Chamber was not this past Sunday, but the last Sunday. And the WWE champion at the time, Drew McIntyre, retained his title in the Elimination Chamber. Whereas on the SmackDown side, after a grueling match, Daniel Bryan became the victor of the SmackDown Elimination Chamber. But to much of to his chagrin, I learned that phrase, his title match for the Universal Championship was right after the WWE Elimination Chamber match. So he almost ended up making Roman Reigns tap, but Roman Reigns said, ah, and he won. But everybody was calling him a coward, this, that, and the third, whatever. But then coming up that next Saturday, or not Saturday, Friday, Edge made his choice, who was the winner of the 2021 War Rumble, and he decided to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in about 6 weeks. And if you're going back to, or backtracking, to when I said the former champion, Drew McIntyre, is because The Miz cashed in his Money in the Bank contract, and a Money in the Bank contract entails that anytime, any place, anywhere, you will get a title shot. This is like at any time. You can cash it in the middle of a match, before and after. But it's guaranteed a title shot, regardless of if the champion is ready or not. So the storyline of the show happened when earlier, when Bobby Lashley, who's been in wrestling business for the past 16 years now, has lost his United States Championship to Matt Riddle, a new up-and-comer from NXT. And he got mad. He got pissed, furious. I'm talking about, like, you know, flipping tables, rah-rah-rah-rah, rabble-rabble on the backstage. So, he's mad. But at the same time, he's also in a rebuilding stage for a lot of superstars back there. But he's in the one where it was time to pull the trigger. So at the end of the Raw Elimination Chamber match, Drew McIntyre retained, but Bobby Lashley came out and bodied Drew McIntyre, in which The Miz cashed in his Money in the Bank contract. And much to my chagrin, he won. And a lot of people on social media, and namely Twitter, because I usually get a lot of like memes and stuff from Twitter because I love just like going down threads and watch people get roasted, baked, whatever. Or just seeing everybody's like input on the matter. See like, you know, what type of stirring of the pot has been happening. But a lot of people weren't happy that The Miz won a title. Mainly because each time he has a title, he runs from matches. He's not really a fighting champion unless it's on his terms. So, again, he runs away. He's like, you know, I'm the champion, deal with it. But he doesn't fight for being the top dog in WWE. What he doesn't realize is the fact that with the WWE championship, which is like the staple championship, it's like this has been in there since like this is like the championship, right? Like I'm talking like Hulk Hogan won this, Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, Randy Orton, Undertaker. Like this is the championship, and he's like being a little bitch with it. So Monday Night Raw happened recently, and Bobby Lashley wasn't having that shit. Because he was like, yo, I got your title. Or I beat up Drew McIntyre. God, I can't speak. And you cashed in on the opportunity that I created for you. So I want a title shot. But Bobby Lashley was like, I wasn't waiting until Fastlane, but fuck it. I want your ass, no homo, next Monday, which is this Monday. And this Monday, The Miz was like, oh, my... He's pulling like a Hercule from Dragon Ball Z. Like, oh, my stomach. Oh, crap. I can't go out there and defend my title. So it was just funny because I was keeping an eye on Twitter most of the night because I wanted to see what everybody was thinking. And everybody was like, yo, fuck this. Bobby Lashley deserves the title shot, blah, blah, blah. He deserves the title in general. It's been 16 years in the making. So everybody was like, yo, get Miz in the ring and let this shit happen. So he finally got back in the ring, the Miz. Bobby Lashley was waiting to fuck him up. So the bell rings, ding, ding. And the Miz, like, fucking dips out of the ring, takes his title, and just books it up the ramp. And then Shane McMahon, for people who've been watching wrestling for a couple of years on end, decades, if you will, like when you hear, here comes the money, like that shit kind of gives you some goosebumps because, you know, Shane O'Mac. But he's like, yo, get your ass in the ring. It's going to be a lumberjack match. You ain't running. So push come to shove, obviously, if you look at the specimen that Bobby Lashley is, no homo, I wish I was that guy. Like, the dude's a stud, right? And this little, like, Miz dude's like, somebody you was like, yo, do you lift? So he gets bodied, right, obviously. Because, you know, Bobby Lashley is like Brock Lesnar if Brock Lesnar stayed in the WWE when it was a consistently on TV guy. But has mic presence, if you will. That makes sense. But he ends up like whooping his ass through all four corners of the ring and then puts him in the master lock. He calls the hurt lock and had that man chicken winging, tapping like almost instantly, right? Wins the title. And watching WWE for a minute, you always know, like, if someone's a heel or a face, regardless of what you are, face meaning good guy, heel meaning bad guy, if you win that title after years of waiting for the actual chance to even get the title shot, no matter, regardless, like, if you're heel or face, and it's your first time winning that title, special the WWE title, the WWF, the triple WF title, whatever it was back in the day. And it's your first time winning that, you're going to be overcome with emotion. You can tell the dude was like, he was about to break down in the ring, but you gotta keep that tough guy persona and all that, blah, blah, blah. Yes, that was a pun. But he ends up winning, which is amazing because a lot of people are getting to come up recently. Sucks that it's not in front of a crowd, but a lot of people are getting come ups, and I'm liking it. But Fastlane is probably, I don't know if it's like 2 weeks from now. I think it's like 2 weeks from now, maybe. It's probably going to be 3 weeks, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be three, mainly because WrestleMania is in six, and I'm pretty sure they want to like space it out, and it's definitely not going to be this Sunday. But I don't know. I'm kind of seeing. I want to see where they go with these storylines. It's actually like it's been a while since we had like an actual build up for WrestleMania, mainly because of the COVID, and actually because of the writing in general. And then what else? You got Charlotte Flair is going for the women's title once again. That everybody's tired of. What else? On SmackDown side, I'm pretty sure Big E got hurt last time. He's in a kind of little champion. Roman Reigns is like being a great heel, with Edge being the enigma of SmackDown. Actually, of WWE, actually. Until he actually decided to face Roman at last Friday. But this isn't a WWE podcast. It's just a little recap. But this is also considered a sports recap. Being it so, said the new changes. J.J. Watt joins the NFC West. Now, for all you Seahawks fans, Be worried, especially if Russell Wilson stays in the Seahawks. He has a lot of pass rushes to deal with right now. He had three, but now he has four. And J.J. Watt likes to touch you by any means necessary. And now you have you still have Aaron Darnold with the Rams, who also likes to touch you. Like, if you're under center, or if you're in your position under the center, these four pass rushers, great pass rushers from NFC West, they want to touch you, and they'll get there. Trust me. And if Russell Wilson, or actually, if the Seahawks offensive line keeps playing the way they did, like, say, the latter half of the season, he's going to get hurt. Like, he was on a cusp of an MVP season last year, and his offensive line was like, I'm tired, fam. And he was getting his ass pummeled in the backfield. Not good. And you don't want all these pass rushers, especially Aaron Donald, and now J.J. Watt coming for you. That's a big oofer. It's oof skis. It's oofy poopy scoopy. But let's transition into our next topic, which is HG's panel. And this is the panel side quest, if you will, where HG gives us this little breakdown of what he's been playing.
All right, guys. As you know, Black Ops Cold War, it's pretty good. It's pretty good for what we have, you know. And I think on February 25th, a new zombie mode came out called Outbreak. And I know I mentioned this before. It's kind of like an open world zombies, you know. What people have been wanting since Zombies was first announced for Black Ops, you know. This is the very first. And I gotta say, they delivered, you know. I'm pretty sure they delivered, yo. I do have a couple, you know, problems, but let me tell you, before I go into the negative. If I go into the negative,
go for it.
Let me talk about the positive, yo. So, yo, you jump in, yo. You jump in that mofo. And, you know, you have your outload, the usual. And it's just this huge map. I think I dropped into, this farm map. I'm not sure if it was Ruka, which is one of the maps. Like, one of four maps you jump in. And I drop into Ruka, and I'm just, looking around, you know. You can drive your cars, your vehicles. You guys have seen the trailers. You run around, and there's this zombies, you know, already spawned in, per se. And it's kind of, dorming, you know. Sitting around, you know, just waiting. So if you walk past them, you know, they start coming after you. And, you know, you have your zombies, with the riot shields, not the riot shield, but the armor on them. But you also have your kind of mini boss zombies. So you have your mimics, I call them the Iron Man, and I forgot the mini boss from Dime Machine. You have them,
Megatron.
You know, they also still split, you know, and they kind of. And they spawn randomly, you know. So what I noticed, you can in this buildings around, you can go into buildings. You don't have to really pay Thank money God. To open doors, which is great, you know. Get on them, you know. And you go around, you know, you're doing yourself. You're just driving around. You can run the zombies over with your car, but your car does take damage, guys. You know, can't be out here Tokyo drifting on these zombies, you know. You know. But it is fun to run over the zombies, shoot off the car. But there's also, little side quests to progress through the game. I think there's, six in total before... Six or nine before you actually exfil. And if you fill the exfil, I guess you can keep going and going and going, you know. But I think that's after round 9 or 6. If I haven't done the whole thing, I'm planning on doing it with one of my buddies, you know, for Twitch. But anyways, I'm absolutely loving it. You know, I love playing in the mode. You know, I played 4 or 5 games of it. I've been busy. You know, I'm in the middle of moving right now. If you guys don't know, you know, I'm in the middle of moving. So, you know, I kind of gotta shellax a little bit and clean in a pack. But back to Outbreak, you know. You have all these maps. You have this one snow map, I forgot what it's called, but you can get to drive the snowmobile, which is actually one of my favorite maps because you can parachute super high down. You have the snowmobile you just been driving on, just been doing your thing, you know what I mean? And it's pretty fun. Is the maps they give you before are pretty big, pretty spread out. You have enough room to run around, do what you want. You can train zombies. And sometimes you can go into like a random room, and a zombie just freaking spawns from under the bed or like from behind the door, you know? And the zombies can break through the doors you're into, so try not to hide, you know? And you have your usual stuff you have for zombies, right? Your mystery box and your perks. And they really outdid themselves with their perks. You have going to have more to grind for, per se. And that's good, you know? It makes me happy. Like, all right, I can grind for this. No, get this. You also get your camo challenges done for your camo, so unlock all of them, you know? And you can do that, too. And it's really, really fun, guys. I tell you, this mode is one of my favorite modes ever that's came out, you know. Because, you know, you all, for Black Ops, every Black Ops, you're always going to get Nuketown 24-7, you know, a reskin of Nuketown. And, like, yes, Nuketown is a classic, but, you know, it's always fun, you know. You're going to play it and not complain about it, you know. But Outbreak for Zombies is really good. It's fresh, I like to say, you know, and I would say it's challenging in some aspects, you know, but it's a lot of fun, especially with friends, because the last group I played with my guys, no, I'm not hating, not complaining, but I had to pick them up 19 times, you know, and like, you know, their excuse is, oh, I was lagging, you know, okay, I understand, but I wasn't, you know.
Hold on, bucko. But 19 I don't want times you to say like that and not listen. All right, list off your track record, how many times you got picked up.
And, you know, as my co-host was saying, I got down like 3 times, but, you know.
Nah, bro.
Before
nah,
that, I was like, how do you get down?
Let's talk about D-Machine. Let's talk about Firebase Z, how many times you had to get picked up.
We can't talk about D-Machine when I join round 16.
You can join at round, like, you know, round 28. You know,
right when
where
I
your
join
boy hasn't get down once. And you went down like, you know, 15.
I have not.
Was it
15 seen it,
times?
But
still to come pick your little ass up.
I have not seen that, you know. But as I was saying, you know, Outbreak is you can see how this is going. Outbreak is really fun. I do plan on playing it again. As for the negatives, the only negatives I have, I wish they were way more zombies. You know, there's a lot of zombies, but I kind of wish they were attracted to you instead of you having to, like, go, like, close to them for them to start chasing you, if you know what I mean. That's the only problem. If I felt like just kind of run towards you, like, maybe the vicinity of you attracting them was wider, that would be nice, too. I understand, you know, you could get bomb rushed, but honestly, that's the fun of zombies. For zombies in any movie or video game, you gotta be on your feet, you know? You gotta be on your feet. Killing zombies or being in a zombie's kind of pockets, it's never gonna be fair. Look at World War Z. They're gonna hunt your butt down. That's what I feel like. I wanna feel like, oh crap. I can't go get this weapon, but I see about 50 zombies over there, you know, about to run. Yeah, facts, about to run and go and jump me, you know what I mean? That's what I want to feel like, but no hate, guys. But that's the only downside to that mode. Other than that, I feel like it's perfect. You also have these zombies from like the old Black Ops, you know, Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3, and God help me, Black Ops 4. You know, an event, yeah, Black Ops 4, yeah, God help me, you know. I forgot what these kind of electric people, like, I was driving a car, and, like, I just got hit by this electric bolt, and my thing blew up, and I was down, or Ohio was down, whatever, whichever one. But I really enjoyed it, you guys. If you haven't played Outbreak, you know, or you don't have Black Ops Cold War, just YouTube it, you know. YouTube it. There's a lot of YouTubers out there who cover Black Ops information better than I do. And there's a lot of more gameplay videos out there. You know, some people like me like watching people play games, you know. I like watching people play Apex Legends. But other than that, yo, go check it out, guys. Black Ops Cold War. It's pretty fun. Outbreak is pretty fun. You know, and there's more stuff coming later this month, I think, for zombies. I might be wrong, but you know, I keep you guys updated if I hear something, you know. But other than that, yo, I love it. But you know, speaking of new modes, new games, one of my favorite systems since I was young, you know, the Dreamcast days, the GameCube, you know,
yeah, the Wii, out, bro.
God forbid, the Wii, you know, the Gamecast, Nintendo, it's dropped some bangers this past week. I'm not gonna lie, it's dropped some bangers, and it makes me want to buy a Switch even more for a couple games. But my host Ohio knows way more about this Nintendo talk than me. So and he's really touchy feely about this. So I'm gonna let him spit it. You know, tell me about
all
Nintendo.
Right, man, with all this shade he's been throwing through this little Outbreak talk, y'all. I'm gonna move on with this the real shit.
Shade.
But I'm overly excited. All right. So Nintendo, right? They dropped some shits. All right. So mostly, it wasn't really like informational, but Nintendo actually, not Nintendo. So the Switch is up there, right? You got Smash Bros, Animal Crossing.
Always.
No, what is it? They just dropped Super Mario 3D World, a port to the Switch. I'm probably gonna be downloading that because I actually love. If anything, like back in the day, back in high school, me and my buddy Dutch used to play the new Super Mario Bros. And I'm not saying I'm speed run strats, but your boy be flying through them levels for no reason. But hardcore parkour. But anyway, Smash Bros. They got a new character. I feel like they did this character right. Because if you guys haven't seen anything, or HE, you haven't seen anything about it yet, it's a person from, Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And I guess it's like the main chick, I'm guessing the first Xenoblade and the second Xenoblade, but she's a character who's like strong, but then she like, you know, she pulls the whole Zelda Sheik thing from Melee, and then she's like a fast lightning character. Like, I feel like they did it right, but I haven't got my hands on her yet. Literally. But, she looks pretty dope. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to be, you know, chomping at the bit to get to her. Because obviously, Sephiroth fell off pretty damn quick. You know, creep Skittles. But, it's like, everybody was like, oh my god, Sephiroth. And then all of a sudden, sleep.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
but, he kind of just fell off. Like, if I'm wrong, please correct me. Like, I remember back when Steve came out, everybody was all like, Minecraft. And then, like, two days later, boom. Sleep. And then, like, another thing. I'm going to get to that later. We'll talk about it. But. Persona 5, the Strikers came out recently last week for the Switch, and I'm loving it. Fucking loving it. Like, I wouldn't be mad if this is, like, the go-to for Persona from now on. Like, it makes sense. Like, in the game, they're, like, saying, like, oh, I'm tired, or you should go to sleep because you're tired. And, like, in Persona, 3, it was always like some like omnipotent like voice in your head. In Persona 4, it was like the omnipotent voice in your head. But in Persona 5, it's this annoying ass little fucking cat named Morgana who's always being like, oh, you got plenty much shit to do, but you seem tired today. You should probably lay down. But you're like, I'm going to walk outside and probably finish some social links because I'm actually trying to play the game. And then Morgana's like, nah, lay the fuck down with a gun to your head. And you're like, all right, bro, I'm going to sleep. But other than that, it's Persona, so the graphics don't need to be, you know, top tier. The range, like the rain droplets are, you know, dripping off someone's strands of hair. Like it's a JRPG. It's notable for its, you know, animated side, right? Each Persona so far, from 3 to 5, has a anime on it. So you have, you know, Persona 3. What else? Persona 4 animation, which is like one of my favorite things to watch, is 25 episode series. I have not gotten into watching P5, mainly because at the launch, they were asking for $300 just to get the set. And I was like, I'll just wait for it to come online. But it's there. I'm happy. I love it. And it's, I don't know how you say it. It's like Musou. It's like if Dynasty Wars had a kid with like a JRPG. And this is what you got. The characters, the character growth from P5 to P5S is amazing. Every aspect of Persona is there. It's just the fact that it's not turn-based. It's legit. Like, yo, this is what these motherfuckers go through when they jump in palaces or the TV world or the Dark Hour. Shit like that. And this is like it literally like opens the door to like possibilities of like maybe Persona might go this way, and me personally, I wouldn't be too mad about it. But the peak, the highest of like, you know, Ohio-ness, I guess, came recently with the announcement of the remake of Gen 4 of Pokemon. And alright, so, two things. Yes, Gen 4 got announced, but it's more of a, if you guys have played it, it's a Link to the Past style, if you will. Like, it's like little cartoony chibi characters, and the graphics of the overall world look great. I love it. Like, everybody was expecting, like, why, how you come to go from Sword and Shield to this, and blah, blah, blah. But then, again, they announced another game which is supposed to be coming out next year, 2022, called Pokemon Arceus Legends, or Pokemon Legends Arceus, where it gives you that Breath of the Wild feel. You can dodge roll, and like, it's not like, oh, you get into a battle with a Pokemon to go catch it, sort of you do, but it's where it's like third person. Like, you're walking around and you can see your character get the ball ready, and you're like aiming and you throw the fucking ball, and like, you can see, like, it's like real time, and it's crazy, and I can't wait to play it. But Gen 4 is what the thing that comes out later this year that I want, and I'm overly excited about it. But the point I wanted to make earlier is the fact that, like, Pokemon fans are worse than WWE fans. Weird segue. But in WWE world fandom, if you will, stands for all you, like, what the fuck, new generation of people. WWE fans are annoying and flip-floppy. And don't worry, I'm getting to the point. But in WWE, fans will ask for someone to get a push, right? And then they're, you know, beaten into, like, WWE's face. Like, push this guy, blah, blah, blah. He deserves a title, this and the third. But then they get the title, or they get that push. Oh, now they're shoving it down our throats. They're way too much. They did it wrong. This, that, and the third. Blah, blah, blah. Right? So, prime example, Roman Reigns. So, Roman Reigns is part of the Shield, which is a 3-man team with Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. So every time he came on screen back in those days, everybody went crazy. Blah, blah, blah. It's Roman. We want Roman. Blah, blah, blah. This, that, and the third. So the Shield ended up breaking up. And don't get me wrong. At the time, Roman Reigns' mic skills wasn't really that good. But he brought charisma, some comedy, humor, this, that, and the third. He was a face after already being a heel. So he gets the push, and everybody's like, boo, blah, 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 boo, not liking all that. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Y'all wanted this man to get pushed. And then when he gets pushed, he gets the title. Everybody's like, boo, get him off the title, blah, blah, blah. The person they wanted off the title, Brock Lesnar, gets beat, and everybody's booing. And then all of a sudden, he's, you know, everybody's booing him the second there, or the second he walks out. So now as a heel, and now you can't really gauge the crowd's reaction, because you can only way you can like gauge where everybody's at right now is basically like social media. This is good. You get a yay or nay. But when I say Pokemon fans are worse than WWE fans, because they've been clamoring for Gen 4 remakes for years, my guy. Ever since was Gen 3 got a remake from X and Y. I believe that's what came before that. Or after that. Before that, yeah. So Gen 3 got a remake, and everybody's like, yo, this is amazing. We want this, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. Now we got the Gen 3 remakes. Eventually, we're going to get Gen 4. Everybody thought we were going to get Gen 4 during the Sun and Moon phase. Did not come. But then we got Sword and Shield. Everybody was, oh, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. Sword and Shield came out. This is stupid. Why don't they do this? Blah, blah, blah. This is not what we want. But then they released DLC and updates, you know, quality of life things that, you know, people have been clamoring for, and everybody was like still bitching about it. It's not what we wanted, blah, blah, blah. But we got what we wanted, but we're going to bitch about it more. Graphics, time consuming, the fact that these people are working during a pandemic to get this shit out. And then, lo and behold, here comes the Diamond Pearl remakes. Brilliant Diamond and Sparkly Pearl, something. But remakes get announced. Like I said, the art style is sort of like A Link in the Past, the one that came out for the Switch. I love Link to the Past. And that game was amazing, both in Game Boy and right on Switch. I'll play it to this day. It was fun. It was engaging. So a lot of people didn't like the fact that Pokemon had an open world aspect in the core Pokemon games. Everybody was bitching. The wild area was this. Gym leaders were that. It's too linear. It's too easy for kids. Blah, 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 diddy, fuck. So, mind you, the new Diamond and Pearl, Gen 4, in my opinion, second best generation, but my favorite game is Platinum of Pokemon. But my favorite generation is Gen 2. But, so, like I said, this game gets released, and it's bare bones. There's no gimmicks. There's no Gigantamax. There's no Mega Evolutions. There's no Z moves. There's no... what is it? I'm missing something. There's no gimmicks. There's no bullshit, right? It's just bare bones, back to Gen 4. This is the time of creation of Pokemon. Like, you learn about the history of Pokemon, the time, space, antimatter, dark matter, whatever you want to call it, Giratina, the god of Pokemon, Arceus. You have the creation trio, Uxie, Mesprit, Azelf. Like, this is like the creation. Like, Pokemon originated from Gen 4. In all separate and all certain aspects. And then not only that, people are again complaining. Sun and Moon, or not Sun and Moon, Sword and Shield, the aspects, the character design, this, that, and the third. We went from this to this, blah, blah, blah. I think it looks perfect. Go watch the trailer. It's not bad. The shit that you guys are complaining about, the gimmicks, it's gone. It's bare bones Pokemon. You catch, you just end a third. And the fact that everybody was complaining about the Dex issue. I did see it as a problem, but now, not only are you about to get, hopefully, about to get all these Pokemon up until now, back in Gen 4, there's a lot of things that are going to change now that these Pokemon are back in the Dex. But again, people are going to find a way to bitch about it. And me, don't get me wrong, I got a podcast. I can bitch about it. And I don't know if somebody's going to hear it, but right now I'm getting it off my chest. But fucking stop. We are lucky enough to get the Gen 4 remakes this year, later this year. They could have said, yo, we're trying to focus on a thing like a certain gaming industry, BioWare, I'm looking at you. For those of you who don't know, Anthem was supposed to get a 2.0 re-release like No Man's Sky. They ixnay that it, the stupid idea, and they're focused on Dragon Age and the new addition to Mass Effect. So, a lot of people are pissed about that. But at the same time, unlike Pokemon, who's been going strong for like 24 years now, not only do they put out amazing games each game they put out, except for Pokemon Trozei, I don't really know about that. But they've been putting out, like, Pokemon, in my opinion, doesn't really miss. Like, in any time any Pokemon game came out, core Pokemon game spinoffs, you always see people, like, PokeTubers, like, Twitch, pop off when Pokemon comes back out. Sword and Shield, the two DLCs, Twitch was popping. Sword and Shield came out initially, shit was popping. Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun and Moon, shit was popping. Alpha Ruby, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, shit popped off. But again, people were complaining about that. But it's here. Enjoy it. Me, I'm just going to be happy to the fact that I'm getting Gen 4. What my favorite, like one of my favorite. And I can't wait. But speaking of favorite games, we're going to get into our main topic. I know a bit late and I kind of ran off on a tangent. But I'm taking a breath. We're going to talk about a game that may have changed your views and or helped you through a tough time. So, HG, do you want me to go first, or would you like to go first?
I'll go first, you know. You guys don't know me that well, but I've been through some stuff, you know, when I was younger, you know, about the age of, like, maybe age 6 to 14, maybe even, like, a little bit beyond that, you know. I ain't gonna get too sentimental on you guys, you know. I don't want people calling.
Do you need a shoulder?
Are you okay, HG? I'm good. Yeah, Emperor Black, King Black, it's good. You know, he's doing well, you know. He has a puppy, you know. But, so, you know, the topic is, like, games that helped you or changed the way, you know, you look at stuff. You know, when I was younger, you know, around those ages I mentioned earlier, I went through some stuff, you know. But I did find comfort in this one game that as probably one of the most games that I ever grinded out, you know, you mean just like, so you have hours and hours and hours grinding this game out. And this game is kind of like an MMORPG, I guess, something like that, I forgot.
Oh.
But it's called Maple Story. You know, yeah. Have you heard of Maple Story before, Ohio? Have you played it?
And mom, no. But I kind of didn't like the whole little, like, computer games, mainly because of the whole, like, if you download this, it'll slow down your computer, for example. What is it? Maple Story. Yeah. And then there was, like, what is it, IMVU?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or some shit like that. Yeah, but same, yeah. Go ahead.
But I played Maple Club Story Penguin a lot, guys, you know. And when I say a lot, Club Penguin, yeah. I played Maple Story a lot, you know, and the reason it just helped me through a tough time is because, you know, you can chat with people on there, you know. I'm not that kind of, you know, loner type guy, but back in middle school, elementary, kind of, I definitely was, you know. I didn't have really much friends, you know. I was bullied etc. I'm not going to get too much into it, guys. You know, I don't want you guys looking up past posts of me like, oh, look, he's a nerd, you know. Oh. But, yeah, MapleStory very helped me, you know. I made some friends on there, you know. I grinded out the game. You could really talk to them, you know, let you like a a group chat or something like that, or Discord, which I don't know if Discord was a thing back then. But, yeah, you know, I made friends on there, you know, and I grinded out levels and levels and levels. I think I always use like an archer. Like, an archer was like, I think I go to archer like every game if it's an option, you know. Dragon Age Inquisition, I chose an elf kind of archer, you know, because I just like archers, you know. You can always get like the heavy class, you know. And the reason, another reason why this game changed is like, it kind of took me away from the struggles of life and what I was going through at that age and how I was feeling or being treated, per se, you know. And I just fell in love with the game. I fell in love with the story. I just fell in love with, you know, I'm in control of what I'm doing at the moment, you know. I remember spending hours and hours just gathering materials, you know, trying to find the right scroll or, you know, a potion to make my character stronger. And this is kind of where I get the meta ain't better. You know, you always have the YouTube videos for this game. What's the best build for an archer? What's the best build for a dual blader? What's the best build for a demon slayer? Or a mechanic, you know, a gunslinger, you know. And also play as a gunslinger, too. I like a gunslinger was also very awesome to play with. And I loved it. And these are, you can tell I played, you know, I played this game. Because these are, like, the main character, the main choices. But there's also, like, sub-choices in those main characters you can be, or main classes you can be, per se. You know. But, as I was saying, you know, it took me away to a different place, you know. I didn't have to worry about school. I didn't have to worry about being, you know, bullied, you know. Or it was just me. You know, you got trolled sometimes. I mean, I dropped the weapon. This guy was like, I can duplicate it. Just drop it. And I dropped the weapon. And he took it and left the lobby. And if you leave a lobby in MapleStory, it is a very hard for you to find anybody else, you know. And, yeah, I got trolled there. I remember that, like, yesterday, because I spent so much time finding this one boss monster. Or this one kind of monster, just to get this good enough weapon, you know, because the weapon would drop, but it could be like super low tier, with like no bust, but you can also get like a high tier of that version, and I was spending days and hours, you know, just tapping that key, just to not get it, and when I finally got it, I was like. Finally, and he was like, you want to see me duplicate it? I was like, sure. I mean, cool. I'll sell it, you know, make more money. You know, I'm there spending money to buy maple coins, I think is what it's called, you know. I'm at a maple tree event they always used to have, like, every couple months and everything, you know, the Halloween events, you know. And that just, like, that game was just life to me, you know. I don't play as much now. I don't know if it died down, but I do remember... who I was living with at the time, he had the PC, you know, and MapleStory was only at PC at the time, and he had the PC, and he was like, hey, here, I created a character for you, you know, you can play, you know, or, like, he has one of his characters, like, he'll spend 5 hours on a game, level him up, then, like, I'll spend 5 hours on a game, leveling that same character up, and it was just fun, and the game was just fun to me. And it's probably where my love of, like, wanting a cool PC or a decent PC really comes from. Like, now, you know, I never thought I had my own PC and I could still play MapleStory. I don't play it, but I can download it and play it, you know. And just to wrap it up, like, MapleStory will always be top tier, top five, you know. It's Kingdom Hearts is probably number one, but MapleStory is very, very close second, you know. But yeah, MapleStory, guys, check it out. But I know, Ohio, you're a way bigger gamer than I am, but I'm kind of curious myself to see, you know, what changed, you know, what game, you know, I think you already told me, so, but I'm not going to spoil it. So go ahead. Tell us what game like kind of changed. I'm curious about gotcha. And so, tell us why also.
This wasn't back in the day when I was a young boy. This is because like the game that honestly was it for me, that actually got me started, and my brother. Actually, there's a lot of games, but the game system that started me was Sega Genesis. Right? I don't know if anybody knows about it. Like, I still have to this day, I'm pretty sure if you guys have been listening for a minute, I have every single game that I played in the basement with my brother, my mom, my sister, I have in my living room right now in the Sega Genesis cartridge. You know, the little like that. I have that. I have the controller. I got the game system. Good. Like, this is my shit. I flick on that thing like, Sega! But I have it. And it's a nostalgia trip for me. And a lot of those games are, you know, sometimes single player, sometimes, beat 'em ups. So one game was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the first movie game, which is, I still watch Power Rangers to this day, the Mighty Morphin side, and Zeo, and what's it called? Turbo, which is my favorite of the series. Everybody likes SPD. But, and then there was obviously Sonic 2, which is like my favorite Sonic game of all time. Like, there's no question about it. There is also Vector Man 2, or Vector Man 1, actually. And then you have Mortal Kombat 3, or the trilogy, if you will, that came out for PlayStation, but Mortal Kombat 3 for the Sega. That was me. Mm-hmm. Sega has been in my life for a while. And none of those games are the games that, you know, I guess, changed my outlook on life. Not even outlook on life. Just changed the way I view things or how I experience things and what gets me through sometimes. But the game that I'm talking about that you guys probably already know that I'm going to talk about, I know it's kind of dragging on to this episode. It's kind of a longer episode because we're trying to get some more content out to you guys. But the game that changed my views, that gave me more insight on life, was shockingly Persona 4, right? So Sega produced this, Atlus made it, and obviously you guys already know the backstory between Persona 4. But the whole main story, whole main gist of it is the fact that you are a transfer student, a blank slate. That's why they call it Yunarakami, because it's in translation in U.S. it's Yunarakami. So it's basically just you. You are a blank slate. You just came in. You just got transferred in from the big city, and now you're in like the sticks, right? And you're brand new, you know how everything works out here, you're like, you don't know anybody, you're just there, right? And at the time, I guess I wasn't really feeling it, because I was like, yo, this game's kind of slice of life-ish, you know, type of anime you watch when people go to school and then there's some shit going down out of school, and all of a sudden, bam, they're back in school. I'm like, what the fuck? But I just kept on playing. I pushed it out, and almost everybody in my, I guess, technical school class will tell you that once I got into this game, I would not shut up about it. But nobody really, like, you know, play a game. Nobody in my small little class at the time, not in high school, but this is before I went to my job, really played the games that I played. So when I was gushing about this game, they would, you know, be interested, but at the same time not show the same, like, okay, I'm going to get into an interest, but they're more interested, like, why am I fucking geeking out about this game? But I kind of felt it on, like, a personal note, mainly because in my senior year, I transferred in the middle between junior and senior year. And I had no problem with this, is the fact that it was just, like, you know, I kind of felt that, like, brand new into a new area, don't know nobody, blah, blah, blah. But the reason it maybe changed my views is because of the way you, I guess, view your time, how you value your time, right? The Persona series has taught me to, in a sense, value my time. And the reason I say that is because, like I said, in this game, you have, there's a side thing. Yes, you go to school. Yes, you make friends, but at the same time, in order to become better friends with these people, you have to spend time with these people. And what these things is called social links. And these social links, you know, have these people closer to you and how they perceive you through the rest of the game, this, that, and the third. For all the, you know, dating simps out there, it can be like a little, you can just get your little waifu and all that. But the whole aspect is the dungeon crawling aspect is because if you don't save these people who get pushed into this other shadow world, if you will, within a certain amount of time, the game ends. But you're on a time limit overall because you start the game in March and you have a year, air quotes, to play through the game. But obviously they're gonna time you on like where you should be at in the game, and then they're gonna be like, yo, this person, if you don't save this person next time it rains, the game's over. But at the same time, before you want to do all that, you can also build relationship with your friends. So me being brand new into my little stepping stone of where I'm at today, kind of an introvert, for those of you who don't know. But at the same time, this game kind of like, you know, maybe it's not too bad if you just go out there and just, you know, meet people. Talk more. And everybody who knows me now will be like, the fuck, bro? Hell nah. You can talk all day. Like, you got a fucking barker for her now. But honestly, if it wasn't for me, you know, taking some stuff from the Persona series, as in value my times with my friends, family, and just overall looking for a better outlook, you know, in life, or looking for the better alternative than what the fuck has been going on, then I probably would still be that, you know, client reserved guy. But anyway, like, oh, a fucking game changed the way you act around people now. Like, yeah, sometimes it does that to people. Just like how, you know, finding like your true calling changed how you like view things. Like, but people have different views when it comes to games. People who play games, where it's almost like an escape from reality, right? So, like HG said, just backtrack what HG said. It's a definite escape from reality. Like, I saw a meme where it says, like, when you try to avoid your problems in your game, but you try to avoid your character's main problems by doing side quests. But it was more of a learning experience, mainly because of, like, it's a cognitive game. Like, they dive deeper into the mind, the human aspect of, like, you know, your true self, basically. Like, what makes you you? Can you accept yourself for who you are? Right? Like, going down the list, there was one person who didn't like where he was at, but at the same time, he just had to suck it up. But at the same time, he still, like, made good friends while he was there. The other one was she had to make sure that she's protective of everybody, but she can't really do that because she says she's not strong enough. The other person just wants to find that knight in shining armor to take her out of the sticks. The other guy was struggling with his identity because he didn't know if he liked guys or girls, but it turns out he's just shy around girls. The other girl, like the next one, was just tired of being like popular, or I guess like an idol, an artist. And then you have one that didn't really know who or what the fuck he is, which is Teddy. And he just wanted to find out who the fuck he was. And then there's Naoto, who she wanted to be looked at more in a, you know, a leading aspect, more like her gender shouldn't really depict how she does her job. So she's been like, at first, like, if you never played the game before, you're sitting there like, yo, who's this dude? But then it comes as a spoiler, by the way, or shocking, when you're going through the dungeon and she's all like, oh, or he at the time was all like, oh, I'm gonna go through a sex change, I'm gonna become a guy. And everybody's like, the fuck? And I was like, the fuck? And my roommate at the time, when I was playing the game, he was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, bro, it's a girl. But at the end, she ends up accepting who she is, and she just she knows she's like, she accepts the fact that she doesn't need to be a guy to be, you know, big, strong, do her job right, this, that, and the third. But she still keeps to her, like, you know, stays true to herself. It's basically staying true to yourself, which is the main, like gist of the game. And moving into this transitionary phase of, like I said, the time before I went off to do my first area of work, this was pretty, it's pretty much a good stepping stone of like what I should be doing in real life. I am transitioning to a huge, huge step in my life at the time, and I needed to stay true to who I was and at the same time value my time with my friends while I'm doing this job, and at the same time value my time with my family members and obviously personal time, what I want to do. So that is why, to summarize, why Persona kind of changed my outlook since doing what I do now. So if you didn't know anything about that, HG, there you go.
Like it.
So it feels good to get like stuff off your chest. No, I know, like I see a lot of people trying to get in like self-healing and all that. And, like, I see a lot of you younger people, you know, getting some entrepreneurship under your belt, you know, getting them stonks or starting your own business. Shout out to Metropolitan, my brother, if you will. The gentleman JC started up his own little merch line. It's called Metropolitan. You can follow him on Instagram. The gentleman JC. I actually just bought a hoodie. Am I gonna cap? This shit looks kind of dope. Another shameless plug. HG, what's up with that Twitch?
It's going good, yo. It's going good, yo. King Black 20. Go watch the Twitch. Good vibes. Turn your notification bell on.
Yeah.
So you know when I go live. It's good. It's a good Twitch.
It's more of a it's a grind sesh, yeah? I have no problem with people, especially people in our, I guess, demographic, if you will. No? Age range, here you go. Trying to make a name for themselves, right? And I have no problem with it, but and my only opinion about that is, like, if it's something stupid, like people go viral for stupid shit and all of a sudden they get like millions of views or stuffs or likes or whatever, blah blah blah, and all of a sudden boom, they're just, you know, popular. And I have no, like, I don't hate the player, I hate the game, if you will. Like, I have no problem with people, you know, making the surface, I just hate the way how things operate. Just to backtrack to the intro of this episode, I know it's kind of long, and if you're still listening, thank you. I know this is a longer episode, but mainly because we like talking to you guys and, you know, getting our, what is this, our piece out there. And just, like, you know, just let you guys into, you know, our lives. Because, you know, I know you guys have listened to us for the past, like, 14 episodes. And you feel like, a lot of people really don't know exactly who we are, what got us to this point. We call ourselves gamers, but until today or this episode, you guys didn't really know, like, what was that game. And I'm pretty sure any gamer who listens to this can attest, or not attest, can agree that there's one game in their life that, you know, opened their eyes a little bit, you know, expanded their horizons.
Stands up, yeah.
But if you are listening to this, drop a comment or a voice message, you know, just let us know what was that, like, question of the day, you know, what was that game that,
facts,
you know, it doesn't have to be a game. What was that thing that, you know, popped that light bulb up in your head? Like, what was that, like, oh, I need to view things a little differently now, or maybe I need to change a little aspect of myself or be myself more, basically, you know. Don't, not per se you change yourself for society, but you change yourself to better yourself. For example, like I said, Persona literally open my eyes to better myself when it comes to, you know, being a more personable person, you know, transitioning from an introvert to a slight introvert, you know? Or HG, when it comes to him trying to get, you know, just to find that like, escape, you know? What was that thing that, you know, helped you, I don't know, be you? It doesn't have to be a game. It can be, you know, travel. It can be learning, discovering something, anything. Just let us know. Drop a message or a comment if you're listening this far into it. But at the same time, we would love to hear what makes our listeners tick. Or what was our listeners' point of, like, you know, maybe I should, you know, be me a little bit more. What was that little click? But like I said, I know this is a long episode. It's not too long. I have no problem editing it. I love getting content out for you guys. HG loves providing content on you guys for Twitch. Please, please, please don't hesitate to go and drop a, you know, message in his little chat box, you know.
Yes, sir. Say hi. Let me know.
You know, if he needs to do some challenges between, like, you know, game sessions and all that at the end of game sessions, if he needs to do something, you know, egg him on. And for me, I'm just happy that you guys are tuning in. You know, it has been a rough year for a lot of people. We only started not too long ago. Like I said, we're only like 14 episodes in. But if you've been listening to this long, and if you continue to listen to this for our future episodes, we would love to have you, and we would love to keep on providing fresh, hopefully, content to you guys as to, you know, a little bit more insight of our opinions or what's going on, what are our opinions in the current world. But HG, you got any closing notes?
Just like my host back in Ohio said, yeah, tell us, you know, I'm also curious. I was gonna say what he's gonna say, but he beat me to it, you know. Let us know what was that thing that just, like, opened your eyes or, you know, got you through a rough time. I love to hear that. You know, follow me on Instagram, Lord Black. That's Lord Black with ED. You know, all lowercase. You know, the black guy with the big butt chin, you know. And you know, follow your boy, you know. And I love to let us know, you know. What was that thing, you know? You guys.
Oh, thank God.
It's getting warmer, you know. Knock on wood. It's getting warmer. I don't know if this is what, but it's getting warmer, you know. But with that said, be careful out there, you guys. You know, don't slip on ice. I haven't yet, but I feel like tomorrow, wood, since I said it, I will. But you guys be careful. You know, thank you guys for coming out and watching this episode again. I like this episode. It felt good. If you guys want to hear more stuff like this, let us know. Also, let us know what you want to hear, you know. If there's a subject in the past that we talked about that we can elaborate on, let us know, you know. We're here for you. But with that being said, it's been King Black, Emperor Black, HG, all those personas. And this is out of Ohio.
It's been a pleasure. This has been episode 14. And we will see you on episode 15. And I'm not going to drop a time frame because Ohio's not consistent when it comes to editing, so blame him. But it has been Decade Ohio, and thank you for listening to the podcast where every day is great at your Juness. And we are signing out. See you next episode.
Peace.